540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Stacey Lynn in Washington. From powerful storms to excessive heat, extreme weather is gripping much of the nation. We begin with sweltering hot temps for millions of people from Minnesota to Florida. CBS's Roxana Saberi is in Chicago.
Conditions here could get dangerous, especially for schools without adequate air conditioning. Some are starting late or moving to remote learning.
It makes it a hard environment for the kids to learn in.
In Kansas City, feels like temperatures soared to 116, and in Minneapolis, 113.
Harold has weakened to a tropical depression now. Here's CBS's Christiane Benavides.
Tropical storm Harold brought sustained winds of 50 miles per hour as it slammed into the Texas Gulf Coast on Monday, knocking out power to thousands and flooding streets in Corpus Christi.
We're not standing down yet.
Jesse Gilbert, president of the Texas State Aquarium, says they've learned from past storms how to keep their animals and employees safe.
We've been through Hurricane Harvey, Hurricane Hannah in the last couple of years, so those were pretty catastrophic storms in some cases. So we plan and prepare for this quite a bit.
It's been over 2 weeks since wildfires ravaged parts of Maui, and there are still more than 1,000 people missing. Police Chief John Pelletier says the search is challenging.
We're not recovering whole bodies. I think I talked about it before. We're picking up ash. Some of it's crumbling.
The death toll stands at 115. A black FedEx driver who says two white men chased and shot at him in Mississippi last year has now been fired from his job. Correspondent Jim Crisullo.
25-year-old D. Monterio Gibson says he feels, quote, disrespected by FedEx after getting an email from the company about his firing. Late last week, a judge cited police errors in declaring a mistrial for the father and son charged in the attack.
UPS workers will stay on the job after they approved a new five-year contract. Cornell University labor expert Arthur Wheaton.
There were significant gains in this contract for all levels, especially for the lower tiers, ending the tiers, some important changes like Martin Luther King Jr. holiday, no forced overtime on your scheduled days off.
Well, no deal yet to get writers and actors back to work. They joined forces Tuesday for a National Day of Solidarity rally outside Disney in Burbank, California. SAG-AFTRA said in a statement, "Together we're showing corporate America that when we fight, we win." Actors have been on the picket line since July. The Writers Guild has been out on strike since May the 2nd. This is CBS News.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Their end-to-end hiring system helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then, you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
It's so hot. Wait, now it's going to rain? It is summer in Wisconsin.
As much as we love it, we love to hate it too. Find a forecast you can count on along with the in-depth details you need only from the Civic Media Weather Team.
These extended conditions have led us into a flash drought. Sitting in these above average temperatures with minimal rain has swiftly altered the local climate.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
I would be remiss if I didn't say that some of what we do in government always is political. It has policy impacts. It has political impacts. But if your raison d'etre and your organizing principle is that my guy wins and your guy loses, the entire country suffers. That is not our call to serve. That is not what we raise our hand and say an oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
AM Radio provides always-on news, sports, talk, traffic, and weather reports. It also delivers vital emergency information when your community needs it most. A new bill in Congress would ensure AM Radio stays in your car, because when cell and internet services are down, this free emergency service is critical. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Everything is on demand now. But there's something about that appointment watching of HBO that's still there.
It's also called the art of the tease, and that's how they get you.
I'm trying to think, what's my tease for tomorrow?
Kristen sets herself on fire. Tune in at 11:20, and then we'll tell you why.
Boom. Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin. Welcome to the second hour, the 11 o'clock hour of As Goes Wisconsin on Tuesday, August 22nd. And it's been a minute since we talked about childcare,
yes.
But just because we haven't talked about it doesn't mean that the problem in Wisconsin has disappeared. If anything, the longer we wait to address it, the worse it is going to get for more and more families and for the people who are providing childcare. So, here to give us a bit of an update on where we are, fill us in on his big trip to the White House last month on this issue, is Wisconsin State Representative of the 79th Assembly District, which is in Dane County, Representative Alex Jors. How are you doing today, buddy?
I'm great. I'm so excited to be here. I'm a longtime listener, first-time caller, so... I'm so happy to be on the show with you. So thanks for having me.
Yeah, we're so excited to have you. So I guess take us back, because this was something like we obviously when it first came down, kind of at the 2:30 in the morning on that fateful mm-hmm. Thursday, I came into the show pretty fired up. I think Representative Hong and I had a live stream where we swore a lot more than I could on the show that day. But you also gave a pretty passionate speech about this on the House floor, as your Republican colleagues were like, yeah, no, we're not going to do this. And so where does the passion for this issue come from? For you, is it personal? Is it just because of what you're hearing from your constituents?
Yeah, it's both. I mean, I look at my 3-year-old right now and I love him, but I think parents are exhausted and looking for some way to make sure that they have quality, affordable childcare and that they can go to work. And so not only is it something that I'm dealing with, but it's parents across my district and definitely across Wisconsin. As you know, I'm sure you've heard that prices for childcare are going up and the availability is not there. Over 50% of our state lives in a childcare desert. So we need to do something about it. That's why I'm so passionate about it. And I'm looking forward to talking more.
Representative, I wonder sometimes, because with the approach of some of our Republican lawmakers, do none of them have children? None of them have ever had to have daycare?
Well, I don't know why there's the disconnect. You know, I am one of the younger legislators, so I am dealing with the issue right now in my family. But I get a lot of pushback from folks that are not in favor of expanding childcare and say, well, it should just be on one parent to stay home. And I just don't think that's a reality anymore. And in fact, the facts say that 70% of Wisconsinites who have kids under the age of six are both working. All available parents are in the workforce. So it's not a reality. That's why we need affordable child care in Wisconsin.
Well, and it would be interesting to see how in this, you know, we started the today's show talking about the cost of cars right now, you know, and just the cost of everything, like across the board, whether it's, it, you know, mortgage prices, car prices, daycare, food, like the cost of living for so many things has gone up exponentially more than wages, right? And I haven't seen a cross comparison to, you know, if we think about some of the older gentlemen, because let's be honest, most of them are older gentlemen who do have kids, and maybe they did have a wife who stayed home that raised the kids, or even if they did have daycare, the child care, if it's just less, it was less expensive because everything was less expensive. Rent was less expensive. Like the cost of living and a living wage was less expensive. And so just the actual cost of doing business and staying in business is more expensive, just like everything else right now. And even with higher wages, because like post pandemic, it's not high enough.
Yeah. And I'll just say this, that 40% of single parents single parents spend 40% of their household income on child care in Wisconsin. And if you look at folks that are making minimum wage, which I'll remind your listeners is $7.25 an hour, they're spending 83% of their income on childcare. So this is ridiculous, and we need to address it now. Yeah. That's why we need to take up the governor's bill to push for this childcare affordability.
Which we'll see what happens, but you were with the governor the day that he announced his request for a special session that is coming up in September. And so can you tell us, we haven't talked a ton about what that could look like or what he is asking for. So since you were there, can you tell us more about what, you know, hopefully maybe they won't gavel in and gavel out, but what the hope is to accomplish with that special session?
Yeah, absolutely. They should not just gavel this special session out. They should take up this issue as people have been asking for. The governor announced in Milwaukee with the Little Green Trees Daycare Center that they were going to call us into special session on September 20th to take up a workforce package that includes the child care counts funding that my Republican colleagues stripped out. That was the paid family leave creation of the program that we need, and then also investing in our higher education institutions. So really investing in families across the spectrum here. And I mean, I would encourage anybody who's listening to this to reach out to your legislator, even if it's me, and tell them to take up this bill on the special session day.
And that's just something that I think needs to be hammered over and over and over again. You need to call them. You need to call your representative,
right,
so they know that you are paying attention.
And even if they still, I mean, because I think that's the thing. It's like, it's hard sometimes when we give the, like, call your representative, and then simultaneously say, but you're also in a gerrymandered district, and they don't have to listen to you, which is why we want to get rid of gerrymandering. So it's like, do it even if they don't listen to you, which is just where we're at in Wisconsin.
Absolutely. And it's helpful for me to know, too, to know people's personal stories so that I can continue to remind my colleagues why this is important.
And I think that's the important thing. It's one thing to call and say, this is what I want, but to... We all know stories more than numbers touch hearts, right? And that's what the thing, being able to tell someone's story of I heard, like I think about this when people leave me a comment in one of my videos or they write into the show and stuff of like a personal story always means more. And then when there's an accumulation of personal stories, that means even more to be able to like take that and actually wrap your head around it versus 80% and percentages and numbers and stuff like that. So, well, on top of the special session that's happening next month, last month, you got to go to the White House to talk about this with other state-led lawmakers from across the country. So are you still reeling from that opportunity? Or are you excited? Like, what was that like?
It was very exciting to be at the White House with folks across the country. It was exciting, but also when I was talking with my colleagues from across the country, it is very different in a lot of other states. There are states like New Mexico that are doing a great job funding early education from 0 to 3. And even our state next to us, Minnesota, just made great investments in their childcare and early education workforce. So, you know, I want Wisconsin to follow that lead, but it was exciting to be there, but it is clear that we have work to do.
And when you talk to people from representing different states where they are making progress in this, like, have you asked them what worked as far as like objection handling, and like for the naysayers who are like, well, if you can't afford it, don't have kids, or, you know, all of the people when it comes to this issue who are on the other side of it and who aren't quite comprehending the, like, economic argument of people, we want people in the workforce. We have a workforce shortage. Like, we want women back in the workforce. Like, all of the things as far as why this is good, to invest in this is good for everyone, especially even future generations of having kids, you know, have... Because it's not just babysitters, right? This is like child education, early child education is that. It's education. And so did you get much insight on like how they overcame the people who didn't want to do this?
Sure. I mean, even in Alabama, they were speaking about the business community and larger industries that, like you said, are looking for workers. Yeah. They need people to work. And so the argument of like, well, parents should just stay home. That should be the answer. And we'll move along. If we want folks to enter the economy, and, you know, usually it's folks with young kids, this is what we need to do. We need to invest in early education and make sure that kids from 0 to 6 or even past that entire education are invested in each state. And that's how we do it.
So we just keep hammering it home, I guess. I guess in the conversations you've had, if there is in the special session next week, and we only got 2 minutes left, if they do gavel in and gavel out, what's plan B?
I mean, like you said, I'm just going to keep talking about it. Okay. And I know some people are going to get annoyed by me continuing to push this, but, you know, my constituents are wanting me to say this, and people across Wisconsin are wanting us to address this in our legislature. And you know what? I think that my colleagues in the Republican Party are going to start hearing more and more about this. I just look at Lancaster, that is represented by Senator Mark Lyne, who just had a childcare facility close. Parents are going to be frustrated with their legislatures across the country and across Wisconsin if they don't address this. So yeah, we're going to keep talking about it.
And there's a chance that everyone's up for re-election next fall, depending on what happens with this redistricting case.
Wouldn't
so maybe they would
something
actually have to listen.
Shocking.
Yeah, they need to listen.
They need to listen. All right. Well, Representative Alex Jors is the state representative of the 79th Assembly District in Dane County. It was so great to finally meet you. Welcome. You're welcome to come back to the show anytime. And thank you for continuing to talk about this.
I'll be back. It was so fun, and I'll keep listening.
We appreciate that. Call in. Just call in on a random Tuesday. All right. Have a great day. All right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back in just a minute. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Wisconsin Decides 2024. The road to the White House begins here. You'll find complete coverage of the first Republican presidential debate all day on your local civic media radio station.
All the show hosts will be broadcasting from the Deer District in Milwaukee. Listen live starting at 8 a.m. Then join Todd Alba and Kristen Bry at 6 as they talk with state and national political experts.
Special live coverage of the Republican presidential debate in Milwaukee all day, Wednesday, August 23rd, on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
app.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Folks, I tell you this much, the Cripes Cast is just the butter on my cheese.
Cockroaches, not that bad. They call them palmetto bugs in South Carolina. Same thing, you can call them up here.
Are they really palmetto bugs?
Yes. Yeah, and they're a great source of protein. They're going to be the lobsters of the future.
They also got salmonella, and they can lay like 40 eggs at once.
Well, they gotta work out a few kinks there, okay? They gotta work out a few kinks.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. An excessive heat warning begins at 10 a.m. this morning and continues until 7 p.m. tomorrow evening. Partly cloudy skies overnight with lows around 70. Winds out of the south, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times again tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 98. Lows level off around 74. Tomorrow night, mainly clear. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 70 degrees.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. On The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM. WAUK.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. And there's very few things I miss more that I can't eat right now than sushi.
Oh, really?
That's the thing. Deli meats, kind of. Mostly because the convenience of just getting a sub from like Jimmy John's or whatever.
Yep.
But it's not like I'm like, oh man, I'm craving that. I'm sad I can't have a turkey sandwich. But sushi, I do like sushi. So that's been the joke that like Mike is going to bring me a sushi boat into the hospital.
After she comes.
But here is, but I'm not snobby, but I worked at a sushi restaurant when I lived in Los Angeles, and we had really good fresh fish.
So, and, you know, from sushi.
So I like sushi. Like I don't like a ton like sauces on it. I don't like it mixed with like a bunch of avocado and stuff like that. Like I like pieces of sushi and sashimi versus rolls. And so then you need to have pretty good fish in order to enjoy that. But it turns out most Americans not that snobby about their sushi.
That's kind of scary.
So listen to this. Kroger, which we know is like the massive, they own Metromark, they own Pick and Save, I'm pretty sure they own, depending on where you are regionally, they own that
something.
Grocery store.
Yep.
Kroger is the biggest purveyor of sushi in the country.
Wow. Wow.
It sells more than 40 million pieces of sushi per year, according to the Wall Street Journal. Is that crazy?
They must have a good sushi team or something.
And apparently people are, I have always been like, that's a place where it's like, I will get a avocado roll. I will get something that is like sushi adjacent that doesn't actually have fish in it. But apparently people are buying it from there and not getting sick, that they keep buying it from there. But the company realized it was number one back in 2020. And in the past 3 years, ramped up its sushi offerings to claim even more market share. But it's not just Kroger. Grocery stores across the U.S. are basically investing in and benefiting from consumers choosing like a $9 California roll over something else that they would buy as far as like an easy lunch to go to the grocery store and grab. And then in general, sushi sales at U.S. retailers has risen more than 70% in the past year.
Wow.
So I guess maybe I'll have to, I guess grocery store sushi, not so bad.
Soon, coming to a gas station near you.
That's the thing. It's also like, when do you, like, when, like, at what point do you like,
Again, it's just, boy, if you do it wrong or you have old fish, this can be bad.
And I guess if they're taking, now that it's like, this builds a little bit more confidence as far as being, thinking like, well, they know that they're selling this much, so they're investing in it actually being pretty good. But I don't know, making that kind of mass quantities of it also feels like a dangerous game when it comes to raw fish.
I mean, that's not something you can repackage for the next day.
No.
Right?
No. You're eating your sushi.
It's got to be fresh.
And unless it's like something that's like a tempura roll. But none of that stuff is as good the next day anyways.
Right.
But are you a sushi person?
Not a chance.
None?
No. I did many years ago. I was with friends, I want to say, in Boston. And I did a piece of tuna, which I think I swallowed whole.
Wait, you didn't chew it?
No, I just swallowed it.
You didn't choke?
No. And then I had a California roll with a little teeny piece of something in the middle, and that was fine. It was a veggie roll up.
What is it about it that you're just...
It's raw.
Do you not eat cannibal sandwiches?
No.
Do you eat steak tartare?
No. Ugh. Blew.
So
I'm really picky.
Are you a picky eater?
Well, I'm a baby. I don't like exotic things. I don't like, you know, no.
Okay.
No.
You're like my dad. I remember the first time was when my dad and I were living in L.A. For that first, like, jaunt. And he had friends in San Diego, so we drove down to San Diego. And we went to dinner. We went to a sushi restaurant. Like, we went to a restaurant where there was more stuff. And there usually is. Like, sushi restaurants, there you can get teriyaki and chicken teriyaki.
Things that
and
they
stuff
actually
like that.
Cook.
Things that you actually cook. And he's a picky eater. And I just remember, and I had never met these friends before because they lived in California, but they were his age. And I just remember the woman bullying him.
Oh, really?
Just bullying him into trying a piece of like hamachi, like sashimi that had like, probably like a jalapeno or something on that. And she's, come on, Pete. Just come on, Pete. Like, just try it. Just try it. And I just will never forget. And I think he finally, because we were the guests, was like, fine. And so he just like took the one and then she shut up and he moved on. But I don't think he enjoyed it.
Don't be a food bully. Come on.
And so yeah, you and Pete can have your plain rice with your potatoes and your bland chicken. And
that works for me.
Oh, all right. Well, we're going to take another break. But when we come back, we are going to talk to Wisconsin author Beth Amos about her journey to becoming an author, but also she has a book that came out last year, Death in Door County. She's got another one coming out in December. So talking about making Wisconsin a character and a backdrop for mystery novels. And so stick around. We'll be back in just a minute. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
I've been waiting so long.
Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained.
This is The Shaw,
540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. Millions across the country are dealing with the return of super hot temps. CBS's Roxana Saberi in Chicago.
People have come out here to the shore of Lake Michigan to cool off and enjoy the breeze as temperatures rise. An excessive heat warning goes into effect when this region could feel as warm as 115 degrees.
Harold is now a tropical depression. The storm brought 50-mile-per-hour winds as it slammed into the Texas Gulf Coast. Maui Police Chief John Pelletier with an update on the search for those missing from the deadly wildfires.
Every single structure or area that's been damaged by the fire is being and will be searched for human remains so that we can recover our loved ones.
There are still over 1,000 people still unaccounted for. 115 are confirmed dead. CBS News Brief. I'm Stacy Lynn.
I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out. Because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
To As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere. A Wisconsin bookstore owner and cryptozoologist is asked to investigate a series of deaths that just might prove a fabled lake monster is real. With her rescue dog Newt by her side, Morgan goes on a hunt, but if she's not careful, she could be the next victim. That is the short description of the first installment of a new mystery series by USA Today bestselling author and our guest right now, Wisconsin author Beth Amos. How are you doing, Beth?
I'm doing great. Thanks. Glad to be here.
Yeah, glad to have you on the show. So that is, as of, I just saw on your Facebook page, as of August 10th, Death in Door County Death in Door County has become a USA Today bestseller as of last week.
Correct. That is correct.
Congratulations.
Congratulations. That's so
Thank
exciting.
You. Wow.
It is, yeah.
And so it was about a decade ago that the last time you made that list, right? So which book was that for?
It was for a book called, I'm trying to remember for sure which one. I think it was Lucky Stiff. It was one of the Maddie Winston books, and actually the publisher had put it on sale, and that prompted a bunch of sales, which managed to get it onto the list a little higher up a little lower, I guess, on the list than this one hit. And it was my first time hitting, so that was fun. But yeah, it's been 10 years or more, I think, since that happened. So this was exciting.
That's very exciting. So before we jump into the different series that you've done, the different pseudonyms you've written under, just tell us a little bit more, because you're based in Wisconsin. How your journey to becoming like a mystery novelist?
Well, I actually started out as a medical freelancer with my writing career. I was a nurse, and I always wanted to do writing, and I read a lot, and so I managed to segue some of my writing interests at the hospitals that I worked at into writing articles for their magazines and things like that. And that business grew. That was when I lived in Virginia. And then I ended up, once I sold my very first book, which was actually a Dean Koontz type of book, not so much a mystery, but more of a thriller, a paranormal thriller, I decided to step away from nursing for a few years and focus on my writing, and made enough money off of my freelance work for probably about 6 years to stay away from nursing. But I kind of missed it and the camaraderie of working with those folks. And I had an idea for a new series that I wanted to do. And my first three books, all of which were Dean Koontz type paranormal thriller books with HarperCollins. Before the third book came out, HarperCollins did some shifting around in the whole publishing industry back then. This was in the late 90s, was kind of worried about what was happening with ebooks, and there was a lot of merging going on and selling going on, and a lot of authors were getting shifted around and dropped, and I was one of the people that got dropped from HarperCollins. So, and then about a year and a half later, my agent got frustrated and she decided to retire and leave the business. So my writing career kind of came to a screeching halt. And I had another project I was working on where I wanted to use the humor of the medical people that I've worked with over the years, because they're just some of the funniest people that I've ever encountered. You need to have a sense of humor to work in the medical field.
Yeah.
That it's kind of a dark sense of humor at times, but I wanted a way to utilize that in my writing. And I kept trying to make sort of a funny mystery series, and I had it set in Virginia because that's where I lived at the time when I started writing it, and it just wasn't working. And then I moved to Wisconsin, and as I got to know Wisconsin, I rewrote the book and put it in Wisconsin, because Wisconsin's just quirky enough and strange enough and weird enough that it all worked. And funny enough. I mean, people in Wisconsin are funny, too. They have great senses of humor. And I had gone back to work in nursing, working in the emergency department, which is a great source for characters and plots and all kinds of things. So eventually I got that first book written. It took me a while to find another agent, had one and fired him in the process. So it was about 8 years, I think, in between my third book with Harper coming out and the first book with this new series coming out. And that was at with Kensington, which is a New York publisher, but a smaller family-owned publisher. And I had to come up with a new name to publish under, because my own name, Beth Amos, was now dirt, because my third book with HarperCollins hadn't sold very well because they dropped me before it came out. So they didn't do anything to market it or, you know, sell. I mean, they basically did nothing. So the sales were terrible, and book buyers have very long memories, apparently. So they wanted me to come up with a pseudonym to publish under, market me, newly discovered author. Plus, I was working in the ER at the time, and I really didn't. My character is a, you know, solving mysteries, and I didn't want my patients knowing that I spent my spare time thinking up fun ways to kill people. So it seemed like a pseudonym was a good idea. And I came up with Annalise Ryan because my son's name is Ryan and my middle name is Anne. And it was going to be initially just Anne Ryan, but they said that was too common. They wanted something a little more unique. So Annalise was my name in German class in high school. So I said, okay, Annalise Ryan. And they liked that. And Annalise Ryan was born. And she's doing much better in her career than Beth Amos is. So
that is so, because, but then there's also Allison Abbott. Right.
Well, there is, because yes, about five books into my Annalise Ryan, Maddie Winston series, the nurse who goes to work for a coroner in a small town in Wisconsin, my editor there said, you know, I've always envisioned a series that takes place in a bar, kind of like a Cheers setting with, you know, characters that are recurring and they can solve mysteries. And he said, can you put something together like a proposal for me? And I said, sure. So I did. And he loved it. And then he said, you know, we love it and we're going to contract for a couple of books in this. And there's just one little catch. We need you to come up with a new name and a new pseudonym. And I was like, why? And he said, because Annalise Ryan and the Maddie Winston series was about five books in and they weren't sure yet if it was going to take off or if it was going to tank. And then they didn't want the Annalise Ryan series to affect the new series. And they didn't want the new series, if it tanked, to affect the Annalise Ryan series. And they wanted another newly discovered author that they could pitch out there. So this time I got a little more strategic with my pseudonyms. And I know that if you go in a bookstore and you walk up to the mystery section, all of the A's are on the top shelf at eye level. Very easy to find and grab. I know that because Beth Amos was up there with one little book and then V.C. Andrews had the whole rest of the shelf. But anyway, that was up there. And V.C. Andrews was dead at that point, but still writing. So I decided I was going to pick a last name that started with A. And so I came up with Abbott, A-B. That's pretty close to the front. And then I got a little sly about it and came up with a first name and a middle initial so that the initials for the whole thing were A.K.A., since it was another pseudonym.
Yeah. Oh,
and so
I like
that. That was my little inside joke. And my editor got it right away. The minute I sent him the email with the new name, he sent an email back 30 seconds later and said, nice little trick. I love it. And so that's how Allison K. Abbott became born. And that series was a six-book series, kind of planned that way, and then ended. So Allison K. Abbott's not writing anything anymore at this point. But Annalise Ryan went on to write 12 books in the Maddie Winston series, plus two spinoff books from that series. And then Kensington decided that they weren't going to do any more of those books. And I was once again back at square one trying to relaunch my career. So I spent the year of COVID writing a book that I thought my agent was really going to love, something different. I thought this is a chance to exercise my writing muscles and use some of the plots that I've been storing away. And so I wrote this book that I thought my agent was just going to love, and he absolutely hated it. And so... So I ended up shelving it, and it took place in Door County, and I had done a lot of research in Door County because I vacation up there a lot, and I decided, when we were talking on the phone and deciding not to do anything with the book he hated, we started brainstorming, and we came up with the idea. He said, well, you know, what kind of things do you like, you know? And I said, well, I like books, and I like the X-Files, and I like, you know, that kind of stuff, and that's how we kind of came about the idea of a death in Door County. And so Wisconsin, as it turns out, has plenty of cryptids that we can play with and move around the state with. So yeah, that's how the series got started.
If you're just joining us, we are talking to Beth Amos, aka Annalise Ryan, aka Allison Abbott, who is a Wisconsin author. And so that is what I actually think is fascinating, because the story is the cryptozoologist and bookstore. It's also funny because I feel like ER nurse and author. Like you said, when you got to Wisconsin, like, what is it about Wisconsin, like, that was so different from Virginia that it itself is a character in itself that is ripe to write about?
Well, when I lived in Virginia, I lived in a bigger city. I lived in Richmond. The culture there is very much still the North versus the South. There's okay. People there that still think we're fat in the woe of Northern aggression. And it just has a different feel to it. And when I moved to Wisconsin, I moved into a very small town, like so many in Wisconsin.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Full of small towns, and there's a lot of rural farmland around. And there were things, you know, in the newspaper, like you'd read the the police blotter, and it would be, you know, somebody getting ticketed for parking their tractor at the local bar, or you know, a cow running loose down Main Street, or you know, the number of bars there are in town as compared to the number of churches, and it's just the whole cheesehead thing, and unfortunately some of the alcohol culture, but yeah, it's just, it's very quirky and different, and it's friendly, super friendly. People are very friendly here. And that was very different from where I came from in Virginia. But I had lived in other small towns, and I think it was as much the small town setting as the Wisconsin setting.
And so with the book, so A Death in Door County, and then with, like, how does that go? And like, how is that inspired then the next book that's coming out in December?
Well, the next book is actually taking place in Bayfield, Wisconsin.
Okay.
Up around Lake Superior in the Apostle Islands.
I love Bayfield.
The Shawamigan Forest. Yeah, it's beautiful up there. And there's a lot of Bigfoot traditions and lore up there. And so Bigfoot will be the second cryptid that we're going to explore. And I'm already contracted and working on book three, which will... be taking place in Rhinelander. Can you guess what that cryptid's going to be?
Is it maybe going to be the Hodag?
Yeah, it's going to be a Hodag. So, yeah.
So wait, what's
you would do well in my cryptid trivia.
So what is the cryptid in Lake Michigan?
So the, well, I guess you'd have to read,
the book.
To find
That's
out.
Fair, but the, Bigfoot, Hodag, but the mystery.
It's based on... I don't know if you can see this.
I can see
the Loch Ness Monster.
Okay.
Yes. So
I did not know that about Lake Michigan. Well, that is so.
There are cryptids in all of the Great Lakes. There are myths and rumors and stories. They have different names here and there, but there's all kinds of cryptid stories in the Great Lakes. And given their geographical structure, it's certainly possible that something is existing down there in the depths, and we just haven't seen it yet or haven't identified it yet.
That is awesome. So you're enjoying writing for Morgan. Morgan Carter is the main hero in this series. It's a little different than Maddie was in your last series, but it seems like she has many adventures ahead of her.
She indeed does. Yes. Her and her dog, Newt. She doesn't go anywhere without Newt. So, yeah.
Great dog, Dave. All right. Well, we have to let you go because we're running up against a break. But Beth, this was so fascinating. I have so many more questions about the pseudonym thing, but I'll have to ask you offline because that is like, I didn't know that existed they're like, no, we need you to be a new person so we can sell this book. Thanks. And so
yeah, it does make marketing a challenge.
Absolutely. So A Death in Door County is available now. Death in the Dark Woods will be available in December. Beth Amos, thank you so much for spending time with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Have a great day. All right, we'll be back after the break. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripes Cast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. An excessive heat warning begins at 10 a.m. this morning and continues until 7 p.m. tomorrow evening. Partly cloudy skies today with highs around 98. Southwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Lows level off around 74. Tonight, mainly clear, mainly sunny. Tomorrow, highs level off around 95. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 72 degrees.
Your home of the Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair, and it is going to be hot this week, where you are.
Dangerously hot.
Much of Wisconsin is going to have a heat index above 100 this week, and specifically for tomorrow and Thursday, likely the hottest days of the year, they're expecting.
Oh, yeah.
So be careful.
I mean, we're talking about 111... 113. That's not the actual temperature, but that's what the heat index is going to feel like with the humidity and everything. So these are crazy, crazy temperatures. First and foremost, if you work outside, and I'm sure you got, you know, you already know this, but you got to take care of yourself.
Yeah.
Mailmen, roofers. I just think of all the people who, that, you know, landscapers.
Yeah. Post the mail. Yeah. Like you just said, mailmen, but like, FedEx worker, like it's
exactly.
so many people that like when you can't actually just. But also, I saw something yesterday. I think Todd Elbow talked about this on his show yesterday. There's certain because of the landlord laws. There's still like you could, there's landlords who can forbid you from having an air conditioning unit.
Oh man.
And so there's certain people who just don't. You know, we say like we're lucky enough to work in an air conditioned building, live in an air conditioned home. But there's a lot of people who still don't have air conditioning and like just have to rely on fans. Or maybe tomorrow's a good day to go see Barbie if you haven't seen it.
Go
yet.
See Barbie. Go to a library.
Yeah.
Go take a long, long, long grocery shopping trip.
Yeah.
You know, just to get out of the heat. And it's the same warnings, but I think there's value in repeating them. Don't take your dog with you tomorrow.
Don't leave your dog in the car.
Don't leave your dog in the car. Honestly, they can suffocate in minutes when it's this hot. Same with children and the elderly.
Yeah.
So if you have an elderly neighbor or an elderly relative and you know they don't have air conditioning, you need to check on them to make sure that they're going to be okay.
Well, and I just feel so lucky because I had a friend who asked me who lives in, well, they just moved from Houston to Rio de Janeiro, but that's a, yeah, that's a
wow.
big jump. But she was saying, obviously, because they're on the other side of the equator, getting used to, you know, what is winter for them right now is still not really winter. But she's used to the humidity because they lived in Houston for the last, whatever, 10 years.
And Houston's built on a big swamp.
Mm-hmm. And but she asked, she's like, how's Wisconsin been with the heat? Like, have you guys had the same heat as Texas? And I was like, absolutely not. And, you know, I do feel fortunate that we have like 2 days of this versus so much of the South that is, this has been their whole summer.
Can you imagine?
Week, just day after day,
right.
Over like 110 degrees.
And week after week after week. And I think it might have been a day that you were gone, Kristen. But in Arizona, the ERs were getting overwhelmed with people burning themselves.
Oh, you told me. Yeah, we talked about this.
Yeah.
When they fell on the sidewalk.
Right. It's just crazy.
And, you know, I don't want to end necessarily on a
downer.
And a downer, but it is. It's like if you track this summer and, you know, this over the weekend, it was the tropical storm Hillary with the hurricane that hit Southern California. We're dealing with the Maui wildfires. And we've had like these heat domes like across the country. But just a reminder that hurricane season basically starts now. So we're not even through what will be inevitably probably more natural disasters that are coming for the fall.
Yeah.
So
it's all related. Folks,
speaking of which, have you seen how hot it is in Europe where you're going to be going as of Thursday? Have we talked about that?
Not really. London looks a little chilly, upper 60s, lower 70s. It can really vary when you're in London because they've had some heat as well and a little rain. So, but again, that's London. It's an island.
It is an island.
It is an island.
Let's talk more. Let's actually end in a happier note. Let's talk about your trip because this is the last day I'm going to see you. Until September 12th.
Yes.
Which is the longest time you and I have gone without seeing each other.
In over a year.
Maybe even more than that, because before we were at the same place and I saw you daily for like a year and a half.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my God. What am I going to do?
You will have Greg Bach.
I will have Greg Bach.
You will have
Greg
Bach.
Tell people about your fun vacation that you're finally taking.
Yeah, we are going to London for about 3 days, and then we're going to go to Dubrovnik in Croatia.
Ooh.
Where they filmed some parts of Game of Thrones. So it's a very, very ancient city. It's one of those old walled-in cities. We like old rocks, my husband and I.
Okay.
We like climbing on old rocks and looking at old rocks and talking about the history of the rocks. And I've talked to several people who have been to Dubrovnik, and they have all said that 3 days is about enough.
Okay.
And then we are going to the Algarve area of Portugal, which is like the southern coastline of Portugal, for about 9. So we try to do our educational portion of the trip, because when we're in London, we'll probably go to the National Portrait Gallery.
Okay.
I haven't been back there for many, many years. And we like to hit some museums and do some cultural things and try and learn some things. And then for the second half, we're beach slugs.
That's nice. That's really nice.
Yeah.
But this is your first time leaving the country since COVID, right?
Since 2019. That was our last vacation, was in 2019.
So that's got to be pretty exciting. Are you nervous at all after, are you feel out of practice?
Well, I can remember back in the day when flying was actually fun. And flying hasn't been fun for a long time. Now it's just a pain in the neck.
What do you mean by fun?
There wasn't so much waiting. You didn't have to be there 3 hours ahead of time. You didn't have to wait. And although we have TSA pre-check and all that stuff, so we can get through some of the lines a little bit faster.
Well, and also I'm assuming he's not a U.S. citizen, that he's still
an EU citizen.
Yeah. So you guys can skip through those lines once you're entering Europe.
Into England. Yep. And there's always the chance that one of my fellow passengers is going to lose their you-know-what, and I'm going to have to duct tape them to their seat.
Well, have you not been on a plane since 2020 at all?
No.
So you haven't really, so you've only seen how, you only
how
seen stories
people,
of how nuts.
How nuts people are.
I would say in the handful of flights I've taken since 2020, there's only been one time that someone was
nuts.
So you don't assume that it's going to happen. It's one of those things where the reporting of it is maybe not proportionate to like how the percentage of it is actually still quite small.
Well, okay, I'll take that. I still think if it's going to happen, it's going to happen on our flight right next to me.
It might.
I'll have duct tape. I'll be good.
There you go. There you go. Just make sure it's in your carry-on.
All good.
All right. Well, tomorrow we will be on site. Well, Jane will be in the studio. I will be on site with Greg Bach at Whitetail Broadcasting Live from downtown Milwaukee, doing a lot of debate stuff. Excited to hear your thoughts on what you want to hear. What moves the needle for you? Are you going to watch it all? But we will do that tomorrow. Make sure you tune in. We got a lot of fun coming up tomorrow. It's going to be a big day. So thank you for our guests today. Thank you to everyone who made it such a great show and calling in and texting in. And we'll be back tomorrow. This has been As It Goes, Wisconsin.
Direct from the Dairy State. It's Sharp Cheddar Weekends, a 3-hour block
of Wisconsin-produced radio, Saturdays and Sundays from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m., featuring Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman, The Cripes Cast with Charlie Behrens, and Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown. You can enjoy it by the slice or enjoy the whole darn thing. Sharp Cheddar Weekends is radio so fresh, it squeaks. Listen in on the Civic Media station or on the app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And apparently, Maggie Dawn, Fig Newton lover of the Maggie Dawn Show.
I was so offended, Jane. You know how much I love and admire you. You're like my freaking radio hero. And then to hear you bash my Newton.
It's still bad.
You want the cakey part cakey. You want the jammy part jammy. That is like bringing me back.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your... You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.